Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans, and welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. Patricia Traynor here with you, and Thursday, March 19th, day number two of the official 2020 NFL League calendar year. That means we are officially in day two of free agency. No free agent signings official just yet because of the changes that the league has had to make due to the COVID-19 outbreak. But we're waiting on news. Hopefully we'll get some soon. Hopefully that will mean that we are returning to normalcy. And in the meantime, we have on today's show Ed Valentine of Big Blue View is here to talk free agency and draft and anything else that happens to come up. So, Edward, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Patty, as always. Just happy to be here, happy to talk Giants.
Yes, indeed. And just a reminder, you know, Ed and I both hope everybody out there is you know, staying safe, that you are listening to the health officials, and just, you know, hopefully this COVID virus outbreak starts to flatten out a little bit. This is some scary stuff, some uncertain times, and we just wish everybody out there the absolute best as we get through this together. So, Ed, let's take our minds off of, you know, this virus outbreak. Let's talk a little football. Want to get your thoughts on the Giants, what they have done so far in free agency.
All right. You know, Patty, it's been interesting. What my first takeaway when I wrote about it the other day is, man, you know, $75 million sure goes away pretty fast, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, people think, oh, you know, there's so much money, and you look forward to what the Giants are going to do with it, and oh, they're going to sign this big name, and they're going to sign that big name, and all of this, and before you know it, all that money's gone, and you're like, well, what are they going to do now? How are they going to sign their rookie class? How are they going to do anything else? You know, and by the way, what happened to Dave Gettleman saying we're keeping $20 million, you know, off on the side? They blew right past that in a hurry, didn't they?
Yeah, you know what? He says that every year, that they're going to keep money aside, and then at the end of the day, it's not as much as what they anticipate. So, you know, I'm not saying that I dismiss what Dave says, but I've come to learn after a couple of years that, you know, maybe it's not quite exactly what he says.
No, and maybe that's a nice goal to keep in mind as he goes through this, is to think, I've got to hold some money aside, but you strike while the iron is hot, and you do what you can to improve your team. And I think, you know, on paper, I think the Giants are better than they were when free agency started. Of course, we won't know until we see that product on the field, whenever that's going to be. We won't know exactly how offensive coordinator Jason Garrett and defensive coordinator Patrick Graham are going to use the guys that have been added. But I do think, you know, on paper, the Giants did improve in some areas, especially on defense.
Let's break some of this down, Ed, because the way I see it, and you're right, we won't know until they get on the field, but I see it right now as what they did is basically filling holes that were created by guys either retiring or guys that they cut. You know, you can make a case, Martinez for Ogletree. The other guy, Kyler, Fackrell.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, him for Kareem Martin. Ebner for maybe Antonio Hamilton on special teams. Cornerback James Bradbury for Janoris Jenkins. The tight end for Red Ellison, who retired. And I'm not saying, you know, look, they didn't have to replace those guys. They certainly did. But I'm just wondering, and it's hard to really say, oh, they definitely upgraded it or whatnot, but to me, it just seems right now like a swap for a swap.
It is kind of an ABC approach, Patty, sort of. Well, you know, we moved on from Janoris Jenkins. We've got to get a veteran corner. We moved on from Alec Ogletree. We've got to get a, you know, an inside linebacker, somebody to call the defense. We've got to get a replacement for Red Ellison. We've got to find, you know, a swing tackle because we didn't have one last year, basically. So yeah, it is a bit of an ABC approach, and maybe I didn't anticipate it being, you know, so much of, you know, one for one, and as you said, sort of swaps. But I guess it makes some sense because those were holes that they had and places that they had to fill. Now we can argue, you know, that maybe Blake Martinez, you could have done better than Blake Martinez. I know that, you know, I was a guy that would have loved to have seen the Giants go after Corey Littleton. I thought maybe they might make a bigger run at Byron Jones. And yet, you know, both of these guys are good players who are probably, you know, probably on paper better than what they had. So you go from there and you go into the draft and you see if you can continue to build this thing.
You know, one thing I've been noting in my writings on GiantsCountry.com is the way the Giants have approached this is, you know, from a salary cap perspective, I like the approach they've taken. And I just wonder if they had gone for the bigger fish, you know, like the Jack Conklins or the Byron Joneses or, you know, I don't know, some of these bigger guys who are making these astronomical contracts. I wonder if the Giants could have applied this tactic that they're using, because as I see it, if we look at the big picture, the Giants ultimately are going to need to pay Saquon Barkley as soon as next year, by the way. I think after 3 years, he can redo his rookie contract. Eventually, they're going to need to do Daniel Jones's contract again. So I just wonder if that didn't factor into the equation.
I would think it had to, Patty, because, you know, one of the things that we saw in 2016 when the Giants went out and made their big free agent splash, we saw the big, you know, long-term contracts for Janoris Jenkins, for Olivier Vernon, for Damon Harrison. And those are contracts that, as you try to move on from these players, they ended up costing a lot of dead money, you know, that you're paying for players, you're using cap space on guys who aren't there anymore, and it becomes problematic because you don't have that money to spend on your guys that you want to keep. You can't, you know, the Giants kind of ran into that problem a little bit with Landon Collins a year ago, and I know the Giants in the end really didn't want to spend the kind of money that Collins wanted, but it's an example of, you know, the money just not being there. And, you know, you don't want that to happen with Saquon Barkley. You obviously don't want that to happen with Daniel Jones. You don't want to have to gut your roster to keep these top tier guys. So I like this approach, but I also agree with you. You're not going to get Byron Jones for that 3-year deal. Just, you see how the market is. You see what he got from Miami, 5 years, 80 some million dollars, you know, $17 million a year, something like that. You're just not going to get the top of the market guy, you know, for that shorter term deal. It's just not realistic.
No, it's not. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's one step at a time, but yet you have to keep an eye down the line on stuff because roster building, it all ties in together. And you look at this construction of the contracts the Giants have put together, and most of them they could get out of after a year or two. So you kind of, to me at any rate, this is just my take, it's kind of, okay, maybe they're looking at some of these guys as potential stopgaps in the hopes that as they continue to accumulate draft capital, they can get themselves out of the mess that they've been in for a number of years.
Well, the other thing about this, Patty, is you look at now Nate Ebner, the, you know, special team guy is different, but the big contracts they gave out, Martinez, Bradbury, there's one that I'm not thinking about, but But most of these guys are guys who are still in their mid to late 20s, short-term deals where theoretically you're getting these guys in their primes on a short-term deal. You should get the best years of their careers. And then, you know, if you want 2 or 3 years down the road, if you want to keep these guys, you can negotiate a new deal, you know, with these guys. But I like this because for the most part, they targeted guys who aren't on the back ends of their careers. They're still in the middle of their careers and should be able to give you their best years.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, look, I think we knew coming in when Dave Gettleman was hired, and I know there are a lot of people who are still not fans of Dave Gettleman, but we knew he was facing a multi-year rebuild. This is year number three. This is a pivotal year for this team in terms of turning the corner and getting the ship going in the right direction, I would say.
It absolutely is, Patty. And yet, you know, we're facing such a year of uncertainty. We have a rookie head coach, a brand new coaching staff. We have all of the outside things going on with the pandemic and the uncertainty about when, you know, when they'll be able to practice, when they'll be able to get together as a team. And I think that it makes it difficult. It's going to make it difficult really to judge where the Giants are, where, you know, what kind of head coach Joe Judge is, because it's apparent at this point that we're not going to have something resembling a normal offseason, which means we're not going to have a normal training camp. It's going to be a different year in terms of preparation and the way teams get, you know, get ready for the season. So it's really going to be difficult, I think, to really know where the Giants are at.
We're speaking with Ed Valentine of Big Blue View on the Locked On Giants podcast. And Ed, you know, you make a good point. And I want to just pivot something off of your last point there about, you know, not knowing what's going to happen. Do you think the fact that the Giants have gone for guys for whom the coaches or Dave Gettleman have a prior relationship with, do you think that has played more into their philosophy this year as opposed to maybe years past?
I don't know that it's played more into it, Patty. I can see where in the short term it might be more of an advantage for the simple fact that Patrick Graham knows these players. He knows what they can do. They know, you know, and obviously Patrick Graham's not running Bill Belichick's defense, but there's not as much of a learning curve, I think, between the coach and the player. And the same with, you know, with Cameron Fleming on the offensive side for Jason Garrett, you know, if he winds up as a starter on that offensive line. But I do think it lessens the, you know, the learning curve a little bit. So there could be some short-term benefit. We did see this the last couple of years with Dave Gettleman and Pat Shurmur, bringing in some Carolina Panther guys, you know, bringing in some guys that James Betcher was familiar with from the Arizona Cardinals. Now that doesn't always work because familiarity, you know, isn't always the point. You have to bring in the right players. You know, for example, Kareem Martin was familiar to James Betcher, but he wasn't the right player to spend, you know, $15 million on, I think, which is what the Giants spent on Martin. You know, they actually wound up downgrading by moving on from Devon Kennard and bringing in Martin. Antoine Bethea wasn't the right player, you know, at the age of 35 to invest money in. So you have to get the right guys, but I certainly do see how in the short term, especially in this kind of environment where we just don't know what's going to happen, how that familiarity can be a benefit in the short term.
Absolutely. And, you know, the thing that I guess kind of scares me with the approach they've taken is something that you and I often, I don't want to say preach, but our response to fans who say, why don't the Giants go and get player X? Now, player X might be a well-known name who maybe 3, 4, 5 years ago was a stud. And with time, you know, time eventually takes away and deteriorates guys', you know, playing ability and talent. So maybe that player isn't the same today as he was 5 years ago. And I don't know, Ed, I just kind of see the whole approach to what the Giants have been doing almost similar to what, you know, fans coming and saying, oh, why don't they go and sign so-and-so when 5 years ago that player was really good and now maybe not so much.
Oh, I see where you're going with that, Patty, but the difference for me, I think, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, is the fact that you're looking at guys in, you know, Leonard Williams, who was franchise tagged, and we can argue about whether the Giants should have done that and whether they compounded a mistake by franchise tagging him and all of that. But he'll still be, I think, 26 this season. Blake Martinez and James Bradberry, I think, are going to be 26 and 27. Kyler Fackrell is a guy who's, you know, 26 or 27 years old. So I think the difference is that you're looking at players who should still be in the primes of their careers rather than guys who are sort of at the end of their primes or at the end of the road in their career. So, you know, so maybe there's a little bit more upside with some of these guys, especially, you know, a guy like Kyler Fackrell, who had 10.5 sacks the 1 year that Patrick Graham was his position coach. Maybe, you know, maybe Patrick Graham knows something about how to unlock, you know, what this guy can do. We'll have to see. But that's why I'm a little more optimistic about it, I think, is just because they didn't sign guys, you know, even, you know, like Nate Solder a couple of years ago, who was a little bit older. They didn't sign guys who are beyond their prime. They signed guys who should be entering their primes.
And that's a good point. And another, you know, point I think you just made kind of indirectly, Patrick Graham is a teacher. You know, he's got, you know, Joe Judge, every coach he hired, he said he wanted teachers. So you know that Graham has that quality. And I don't know that necessarily we could have said the same thing about some of the coaches on the previous staff based on the results we got. So then by bringing over some of the guys that they are familiar with, these are guys that these coaches know what they can do and they can maybe teach them and coach them up to perform at an even higher level. So maybe that's part of the thinking.
Could be, Patty. You know, there's always, I mean, I think there's this thing in the NFL where coaches, GMs, they always tend to fall back on what they know, on what they're comfortable with, on what they're familiar with. So there is always that. And I, you know, that could be playing into some of the signings that the Giants made. But, you know, I just keep coming back to the idea that they didn't sign maybe Nate Ebner, because I think Ebner's 31, you know, a little bit older, you know, of a guy in terms of NFL years, but they didn't sign anybody who's really at the end. And I just like that in terms of, you know, going forward and trying to build something that's, you're trying to bring the Giants forward and go toward the future, and, you know, which we talked about forever over the last couple of years, whether the Giants were kind of hanging on to the past and fooling themselves a little bit. So I just like the idea that even these signings, you know, have the future in mind.
Absolutely. And Ed, I'm going to put you on the spot here for our last topic of the podcast. Great for me, the Giants free agency haul.
Pick by pick, Patty, or overall?
We'll start with an overall grade and then just, you know, mention a couple picks that you like, a couple that you don't like.
Well, you know, I'm probably without seeing how all the pieces fit together, I'm probably in the B minus range, you know, in terms of, I like a lot of things that they did. It's a little bit, it's funny because I question some of the smaller moves that they made more than the big moves that they made. I mean, I don't even want to try to pronounce the tight end's name, but I don't think anybody else would have given him that kind of, you know, the money that the Giants gave him. you know, you cross your fingers about Kyler Fackrell and hope that the Giants can get something approximating his 2018 season, you know, out of him. I think probably the one signing that, well, there's two signings that I really liked. And one is a small one-year signing, and that happens to be Cameron Fleming. Because you and I, how many years have we talked about the Giants not having a veteran swing tackle? And how much of a disaster was it last year when we had to watch Eric Smith try to play left tackle? You know, that was just, that was a nightmare. I like the Fleming signing for the simple reason that it gives them some options. It, at left tackle, at right tackle, it gives them somebody who can step in. If they can't find the guy in the draft that they want, or, you know, if they have to wait until day two to find more of a developmental guy, it gives them someone who can step in and play right tackle for, you know, for a period of time, you know, and play it competently. And I think the signing that I like most on the defensive side of the ball is James Bradbury. And that honestly is not because he's the best cornerback in the league. You know, he's not Darrell Revis. He's not Richard Sherman. He's not a Hall of Fame corner, but he's a good player who will allow the Giants to structure a secondary where DeAndre Baker doesn't have to try to cover the number one receiver on the opposing team. Some of the Baker and some of these other young players, you know, can develop and can learn without, you know, having that responsibility of being responsible for number one guys. You know, and I think if you look at Bradbury's history, you know, he may not be a tremendous playmaker, but he's a guy who can competently cover, you know, the top tier wide receivers. So that's a move that I like.
And any moves that you don't like?
Well, not necessarily, Patty. I think there's, you know, the hard part comes back to pass rush. I think you still have to scheme pass rush. I think it's a, you know, for me, it's an open question how they're going to do that. You know, I think we anticipated that it was going to be hard for the Giants to upgrade their pass rush this offseason just because of the where they sit in the draft and the way free agency was likely to play out with the price tags and a lot of, you know, a lot of guys being franchise tagged. So, I mean, that's the hard thing for me isn't necessarily guys that they signed. It's just not being able to address that pass rush in any sort of really significant way.
I'm with you, Ed, and I don't know that they're going to necessarily be able to do it in the draft either, given, you know, how it is expected to fall. But anything can happen. You never know. Maybe there'll be a surprise tag and trade. Maybe there'll be somebody that gets released that nobody saw coming. I mean, that's the beauty of this time of year in the NFL. So a lot of times something pops up that absolutely nobody was expecting, and it can really turn the tide of what was expected.
Yes, it can, Patty. You know, Dave Gettleman has said that in the past. You just never know who's going to be available. You never know what's going to come across the desk and who might fall in your laps. I mean, right now it looks like the Giants aren't going to be able to get that top pass rusher. They'll have to make do with what they have and scheme it and hope that the upgrades that they have made on defense, that the guys they have brought in, you know, help them across the board. And it would be nice if, you know, if Leonard Williams actually found the quarterback a few times too, but you know, we'll see how that turns out.
Yeah. We'll see if Leonard Williams agrees to sign the franchise tag, if they can't strike up a long-term deal. That's going to be an interesting thing to definitely play out. Edward, always a pleasure speaking football with you. Thank you so much for coming on. Giant fans, thank you so much for listening. Make sure you check out Big Blue View and their podcast, Big Blue View Radio. And of course, make sure you are checking out GiantsCountry.com for all the latest news, evaluations, draft profiles, and so forth on your New York Giants. For Ed Valentine, I am Patricia Traina. Thank you for listening.